looking at the what's called the first petition in the Lord's Prayer, but let's look in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 9 through 15 after I pray, and I will include Maggie in that prayer and certainly Linda's surgery too. So let's pray. Father, we lift up to our Savior, the throne of grace, that you promised to hear our prayers, Lord, and we cry out to you for your blessings. Pray for little Maggie, this child that is so sick so suddenly, and one of Susan's associates, her daughter. We ask for her healing, that you'd clear up this congestion and that her breathing would be restored and the fever would be broken. We thank you for the answer prayer of halfway around the world, this little girl doing better out there in the middle of the wilderness, really, Lord, of ministering to wandering tribes, this pastor's daughter. And we thank you for the work there. Thank you, too, Lord, for the testimony of how you raise up answers to prayer in the midst of one having to lay down the work of a treasure, and another one said they would do it. Thank you for Linda. We ask for her successful surgery next Thursday. Now, Lord, bless us tonight. We pray that you will teach us to pray and teach us to hallow your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6, look at let's start at verse 7 and go through 15. And when you, Jesus, this is Sermon on the Mount, of course, 6, 7, and 8 of chapters in Matthew of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 7 of chapter 6, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. God bless his word. Particularly, we're looking back at the second part of verse 9, where Jesus teaches us to pray, hallowed be your name. How do you react when you see somebody burn an American flag and trampling it in the dirt? Doesn't that make you mad? Doesn't it offend you? Now, it's just a piece of cloth. It's just a piece of cloth. The offense to the flag, though, is more than just a piece of cloth, isn't it? We are offended for what the American flag is and what it represents to us and our country, and the lives that we're given that we might enjoy the benefits of our country. Our flag is to be honored because we want to honor our country and what it represents. And there's strict rules about the desecration of the flag. In fact, how you're to fold the flag. How do you treat the flag? How do you bury it? You know, you're not supposed to dispose of it too lightly. Well, how do you react to somebody taking the Lord's name in vain? Do you have the same as virulent reaction as the offense to God's name as you do against somebody burning the American flag? I mean, how do we react? Jesus tells us to hallow the Father's name. We are instructed from the Scriptures in plenty of places about the need to honor the name of God. Now, here's an example. David teaches us this in Psalm 145, first seven verses. I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men may speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. That's a pretty good primer on how to praise God, isn't it? Just go by those seven verses to teach you how to praise God. But he starts off saying, I will bless your name forever and ever. Is God's name honored? Is it honored in your life? Look at your outline there. Learn from your Savior tonight to pray with praise and purpose that God's name may be glorified. After an initial opening here where we looked at our Father who is in heaven as the way that Jesus teaches us to come to God in prayer. What a wonder that is that we can pray to our Father and who is in heaven, and he enables us through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we have that kind of covenant relationship. And then they count some six petitions here, Jesus' suggestions of what you can ask for, or what you should ask for, six different petitions. This is the first one, and the first one probably is on purpose. That is, it has a primary relationship to the other ones. You'll see on the outline I asked three questions. What does hallowed mean? And why is God's name so important? And how can we pray for his honor and glory? Hallowed means to be made holy or sanctified, to be honored, to be reverenced. What's the opposite of hallowing or sanctifying? It would be to curse. To curse the name of God. Halloween, it is the eve of All Saints Day, of those sanctified ones. We, of course, believe that we're all, in a sense, saints, not because of our actions, but because of the sanctifying work of Christ, and we are presented to the Father as holy and sanctified. Is God's name hallowed? How is it and how is it not honored? Are you hallowing his name? Are you praying for it? Jesus says to pray for this. It doesn't come naturally to us or to our world that we should pray for the honor of his name, to give glory to his name. Now, why is God's name so important? He doesn't say, hallow God. He doesn't say that. He says, hallowed be your name, God. Why is this nomenclature, if you want to call it that, in the Bible, that names are so important? The Bible, of course, teaches that the names meant something. They represented something. They stood in the place of something. Let me give you some Old Testament examples. Abram becomes Abraham, father of nations. Genesis 17:5, the father of a multitude. Jacob becomes Israel. The schemer comes to be the one that strives with God. Naomi, because of her bitterness, shall be called Mara. Ruth 1:20. Even Saul, who was breathing out violence against the church when he was converted, was given a new name, Paul. So names are important, and the name of God is special. It represents God and all his being. In fact, the Old Testament word Yahweh is a dangerous word. So dangerous that the Orthodox Jews won't even say it out of fear that they would profane his name. The name of God is very important. Now, why is this? Because he is the creator and gives us our names, and so his name is to be hallowed. Here's some references to challenge this in your life. Ephesians 3:14 and 15, speaking about God and our naming from him. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Psalm 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. How important is this? I will show you an example of how important it was to behave ourselves in regard to respect for God's name. You might remember this story back in Leviticus 10. See if you remember this story of Nadab and Abihu. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans and, after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored.'" So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. Aaron's two sons were struck down because they were not careful on prescribing the glory as doing what the Lord prescribed for his glory in the worship in that economy then. If you want to get a taste of how important it is to hallow God's name, go back and read the early chapters of Leviticus of the strict, and I mean very strict and specific instructions of those sacrifices that were to be made in the tabernacle and in the temple. Very precise lambs and rams without blemish, the way you're to divide the bodies, the ways you're to clean the organs, all that nitty-gritty, ugly, seemingly ugly stuff is very carefully prescribed because of the nature of the holiness of God and that he was to be approached with great care. I remember when they were going along and reached out their hand to steady the ark. Was it the ark? And they were struck down. We too lightly regard, "Hallowed be thy name." This is the first and primary of all the petitions that we are taught to pray. Well, then, that's my third question. How can we pray for his honor and glory? Psalm 115:1 says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory." You all are aware, I'm sure, by now that our confession of faith includes a statement of faith called the Westminster Confession of Faith, but we also have question and answer sections to teach us the faith. And each of our larger and shorter catechisms has a section on the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm going to read first the shorter catechism answer and then the larger catechism answer and see the precision that they try to answer this question. What does it mean to hallow the name of God? The shorter catechism, question 101, what do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray that God would enable us and others to glorify him in all that whereby he maketh himself known, and that he would depose all things to his own glory. Now, you know about the larger catechism, by the name of it is larger. The answers are more full. Listen to the larger catechism question. This is question 190. What do we pray for in the first petition? In the first petition, which is, "Hallowed be thy name," acknowledging the utter inability and indisposition that is in ourselves and all men to honor God aright, we pray that God would, by his grace, enable and incline us and others to know, to acknowledge, and highly to esteem him, his titles, attributes, ordinances, word, meaning the Bible, works, and whatsoever he is pleased to make himself known by, and to glorify him in thought, word, and deed, that he would prevent and remove atheism, ignorance, idolatry, profaneness, and whatsoever is dishonorable to him, and by his overruling providence, direct and depose all things to his own glory. Now, how can this be? How can we hallow his name? Well, first of all, you'll see from my outline is that God first enables us to do that. It is the work of God to make us an instrument of his praise. It is like turning us into a trumpet or a guitar or whatever. He gives us the ability through our new birth in Christ and bringing us back from the dead and quickening our spirit to be able to be instruments of His praise. As we surrender more and more to Him, He tunes us even better for that song of praise to His good name. Now, secondly, God also reveals to us how to hallow His name. And what do I mean by that? Well, certainly, how majestic is Thy name in all the earth. You've stood on the top of Grandfather Mountain or something and looked out and wondered at creation and the beauty of it and said, if you're a believer, what a world God has created, how incredible, beautiful He must be that His handiwork would be with this. But of course, the other way that we learn how to hallow His name and to praise His name is from the Scriptures. The Scriptures are full of His teachings and His majesty, and we can glorify Him by knowing Him better. That's the challenge of Psalm 19 and 119, or of course, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So He has revealed to us how we might honor and hallow His name. Pray for it. To love Him is to know Him. Our ignorance is an affront to God. Our ignorance of His attributes, our ignorance of His greatness is an affront to God. We should be students of God. We should be theologians studying God. We should know and be able to articulate back to God of His greatness and not just say, thanks, God, now take care of my needs. The very first petition is, take seriously this need to, you were created to glorify Him. To love Him is to know Him, and to know Him is to honor Him. Now, God works to enable us, as I've said, to do this. He enables us, but He works in our life. Why did God create us? Why do other things happen? They should be orchestrated for His glory. Seek and pray for His glory. Jesus has some words about this in John chapter 12, 27 and 28. In speaking about His death, Jesus says, "Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify Thy name." Jesus saw in His passion and His suffering that He was going to glorify and hallow His Father's name. Pray for God's name to be holy, honored, sanctified, hallowed. Now, how can God's name be hallowed if there's no conversions to Christ? Magnify the Lord with me has been that psalm I've put in the front of the bulletin for several years. If we want to hallow His name, let's increase the size of the choir. Let's go out there and tell others about Christ that they might join in this chorus to sing His praises. Do you understand how that honors Christ and His name is glorified when people all around the world, the sun never sets on those that are hallowing His name. As the church has reached around the world, we have added to the chorus of the songs of His praise. God is healing somebody. Do you hallow His name? Do you give Him the glory when some wondrous blessing comes? Do you go first of all, not in your joy for that person or the other thing, but you say, praise be to God. Hallowed be His name. And finally, your work can hallow His name besides your prayers. What is the chief end of man? Our simple question of our catechism says it is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so we can say, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then we eat or drink, or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Pray that not only your lips and your prayers will hallow His name, but your very work and your life will hallow His name. What does hallowed mean? To make holy, to sanctify. Why is God's name so important? Because the name represents God. And it is, we are commanded to give care to honor His name. And how can we, well, when God enables us and creates in us an ability to make this melody, and He shows us how to do it in His creation and primarily in His Word, and He works in our circumstances at every turn that we can hallow His name, we can do this. Tonight, will you heed your Savior's prayer instructions and hallow the Father's name? How do we hallow His name? We obviously have to have a relationship first in Christ. You're singing out of the wrong songbook if you think you can pray, other religions can praise His name and hallow His name. They're on the wrong page. Only in Christ can we give honor and glory to Him. What do we pray for in our prayers? I don't see this being a priority for us. And you realize it's the first petition. This is probably the most neglected of the Lord's Prayer. We don't see this as, we just assume it. We don't struggle and pray and ask God, make holy Your name in our conversation and in the conversation of others and in the conversion of others and in the work that we do. Is it a part of your priorities that His name would be glorified and holy? Listen to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. What? So that I can be happy? Make me happy, God. Heal all my diseases. Give me all the money I need. Help my kids. God be great, and that's okay to ask for that, but listen to the reason for this. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, what? That Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God, let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. How do we practically do this? Or is it merely theoretical that we say we're praying for His name to be honored? Or are we actually saying, God, teach me how to praise Your name, to lift up Your name? Going to another reference, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, a reference from Paul. Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. Paul saw that as a wonderful fruit of the labor of world missions and evangelism, that the name of God would be magnified and glorified. Yes, you can. All these good works were created for His glory. More than worship, but certainly it is also worship. Now you might say, well, that's going to be boring. I mean, I don't know if I got enough energy to sit there and pray about how can God be glorified. Well, you know, of course, that you benefit. As you draw closer to Him in praise, you will benefit in wonderful ways. Let me say a word about today's world. We know what taking the Lord's name in vain overtly is. It is using the word damn associated with God's name. And you've been in situations where somebody used that word. But do you realize it is also people saying, oh God. And you hear that all the time. And I'm afraid we're guilty of saying it without thinking. But that is talking about God's holy name when we say, oh God. Let us be real careful. Remember these two guys that thought they knew how to do incense in the worship of God, and they mixed it up not by the prescription of God, and God struck them down because they did not honor Him as He has instructed. Let us be careful with the name of God and also to find great joy in turning to Him. I started off with a challenge about flag burning. I think everybody in this room would be highly incensed if we saw somebody desecrating the American flag. Are we as sensitive to people who take the Lord's name in vain and desecrate the name of the Lord? Let us be those that would sing of His praises and work for His glory. Hallowed be Thy name, O God. Sanctified be Your name and honored. Thank You for reminding us of this part of this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Father, we pray so often this prayer. Help us not to be guilty of Jesus' instructions of meaningless repetition, that every time we say this phrase, Lord, that You would, by Your Spirit, quicken our hearts to concentrate on how we can glorify and lift up the name that is above all names. We thank You, Lord, that we can be instruments of Your praise, that You've graced us with mercy and peace. Even in the midst of a storm, You can give us peace when we focus on Your glorious name. May this church, O Lord, be a place where Your name is sanctified and hallowed and honored, and may we find great strength in that and joy. Bless Your people now, Lord, as we head out into this world. It could be, Lord, that we're going to hear the Lord's name taken in vain this week. Help us to respond to that with grace, but at the same time with testimony that they were in fact offending somebody that we love. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.